Welcome to Inspiring Wholeness, presented by AdventHealth, in partnership with the Orlando Business Journal, featuring people who make Central Florida a better place to work, live, and play. In this download, we welcome Trish Idris, Senior VP and Chief Innovation and Partnerships Officer at AdventHealth, along with Belinda Kirkegaard, President and CEO of the National Entrepreneur Center. Our topic, the Community Health Needs Assessment, and why it's so important for businesses and our communities. Trish, I want to start with you. Let's talk about the Community Health Needs Assessment and why it's so crucial for Central Florida.
Sure. So this is actually our fourth time doing a community needs assessment. We started probably 12 years ago because we do them every 3 years. And we're in our fourth cycle. And for us as a healthcare system, it's really a good opportunity to understand kind of what it says in the title. What are those community health needs and where can we start to plan either services or where can we partner with other community organizations to move the needle? So we do it in conjunction with the other health system partners. We do it with our health departments. It's really a collaborative space for everybody that's offering care to our community to come together and start to think about where are those places that we can most focus our resources to move the needle and hopefully make Central Florida the healthiest place to live.
And Belinda, where does this play in from a business standpoint?
Well, I was going to say I participated in the last assessment that they did, and it was neat to be able, in that capacity, I served as just a layman, a resident, providing feedback on what the priorities were or what the needs were in the community and in Osceola County in which I live. So it was a neat way to kind of have a collective group tell the health system what's going on in our backyards and where do we need help? How do we move the needle, as Trish said, but truly do it in a way that's meaningful and going to impact those that need that help.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Belinda, because we've learned every time we've done it. So it changes and we've gotten better at how do we look at the community, but now we're doing actual focus groups. So you're doing it by geography, you're doing it by gender, you're doing it by different ethnicities. So you're really getting cross sections of the population in the community to start to look at where those needs are.
It becomes really comprehensive.
Yeah.
Look at what the needs are.
And collaborative, too. Yes. It sounds like there's a lot of back and forth.
Definitely.
AdventHealth's Collaborative Community Council. Let's talk about where that comes in, Trish. How does that factor in?
So the long history of that is starting back when we opened our celebration facility in 1997, which is actually in Osceola County. As part of us doing that particular facility, we started what we call a community advisory group that our CEO and the administrative team basically said, we'll spend $1 million doing community type health work, focused again at that time on Osceola. Fast forward, it was so effective and we felt like we'd really gained a lot of traction and learning. We now have spread that to do all tri-counties. So now it's the same idea. AdventHealth contributes about $1.2 million a year to community groups and organizations that are aligned to those CHNA priorities. So for example, this past CHNA, we've identified mental health, which is a continuing need in our community, as well as workforce development. What we'll do is we have a grant cycle where community organizations can come in, talk to us about what they're doing in those spaces, and then we fund programs, initiatives to really launch them. It's not necessarily that we want to fund operations, but we're looking for innovative ways that community members and if sponsorship, bringing AdventHealth, other community leaders to the table and businesses, how can we partner with them? And so we've had 77, I think, grants since 2015. We have a number this year, again, focused primarily in the areas of mental health, which has been a big focus in almost every community needs assessment, as well as food insecurity, which had been identified in our last cycle. And so we're, again, looking for partner organizations that AdventHealth can come alongside to help move the needle related to those outcomes.
I'm going to take it even a step further. So even though as an agency, you're providing funds to these nonprofits for them to help the community, what I like most is that they're helping these organizations further develop their fundraising skills. So the AdventHealth team has a team that handholds some of these applicants. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be presenting to this board and they want to make sure their message is very efficient, concise, the ask is what it should be. So there's handholding. That's something that many of these organizations can't afford to do, you know, internally themselves. And so, and then there's the reporting that goes also with not only once you secure funds, you're having to report back on what you've done with those dollars. And now it helps this organization, this nonprofit that's receiving funds, not only better message, better present, but also the reporting out that they will then take to ask to other organizations to further their mission. So I just think it's so rewarding that Advent Health is not only helping them financially, they're helping them be coached and help them further fundraise.
Yeah, because to Belinda's point, the idea is to help organizations become sustainable, right? So you don't want this one-time great project to flounder, but how do you necessarily help them? And obviously, organizations and businesses partnering with community can teach them the skill set to be able to go look for other grants, other places to partner in the community. And I mean, we've seen year over year increases in the number of applicants. So I think last year cycle, we had 86 different organizations that came. If you don't get a grant, it doesn't mean we're not going to partner with you in some way. So that team will walk beside some of those organizations, even if they're not quite ready for the grant process. Because we have started to put rigor in terms of measurement and reporting, and we enjoy that work together. And I think that it's, I mean, Belinda's on our group that helps award those grants, and it's probably one of my favorite meetings of the year is meeting the different community partners and getting to see what's happening and award those grants.
I do as well. Sometimes when you watch the news, you just kind of wonder, where's this, you know, where's society going on occasion? But then you go to these meetings and you hear firsthand the remarkable work that individuals are doing to give back to the community. And just, for me, it's just, that's so rewarding.
And the makeup of that group is mainly community folks like Belinda. So there's very few of us that work for Advent Health. There's a few members, but the goal is to have good representation from the community to help advance and select those. So we're grateful for Belinda. She keeps telling me she's going to phase off, but no, we're going to keep her.
That's the Sunshine Committee for me.
You're not going anywhere, Belinda.
No. Going anywhere, Belinda.
I go home and I jokingly tell my husband, I've spent millions of dollars today. It's not your checkbook, though.
That's a way to spend it. And let's talk about some of the groups, too. I mean, you mentioned 80-something, right? But let's touch on a few where we're having an impact. Trish, can you share that with us?
Sure. So last year we gave grants to like the new Image Youth Center, which again is helping youth in Paramore. It's a really great opportunity. They have a mobile service in helping kids. And I mentioned to you mental health. So I have to tell you, like, of the, I think, 6 or 8 grants that we gave last year, many of them are focused on youth and for mental health services, which goes back to the larger community needs assessment that we started to talk about. Yep. We've got some in here for PACE Center for Girls. We're doing work with them as well that we're proud of. And again, as we look across the places that we want to support, we're really trying to say, where are the areas that by doing the work, we can move the needle towards specific outcomes? Let's give a shout out to the Camaraderie Foundation that's helping veterans, which Central Florida, if you're not aware, has a growing veteran population. And so providing services, it looks like here, last year, they're trying to get to 1,000 veterans in the local community, helping both their families with counseling and support services.
You're dealing with post-traumatic stress disorders, yep. And it's not just the veteran, it's their family member that needs the help.
And then I mentioned to you about food. So we've got One Heart with Women's and Children's is really looking at food deserts. And so again, how do we assist with food delivery? I'm looking at their great stats, about 55,000 residents in the Paramore, Pine Hills, and Eatonville area that we've been able to partner with. One of the challenges in a lot of the services is really getting people to the services. And so as we've been looking at some of the programs, mobile access, placement, and how do we make sure, again, that people, you can have this great program, but if people can't actually get to it. And so going into communities is becoming, I think, more and more the norm for some of these key service areas.
Correct. And I think the pandemic actually really spurred some of that, just the transportation element that some individuals don't have the ability to just jump in a vehicle and get to where they need. So Trish referenced the PACE Center for Girls and specifically the REACH program that the organization helped fund. And it did just that. It brought in those therapists that are meeting these young ladies in their homes within the community that they're in versus, you know, waiting for them to try to find transportation to get to the center.
Yeah, the other one that I really like, we also train the professionals that then start to help more people. So some of the support goes to actually helping these organizations build capabilities. So with the AMI Kids Orlando, they've used this EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a very effective clinical intervention for kids with mental health and other traumatic challenges. We're training the counselors so then they can extend the reach. So again, the idea is how many folks can we get to by providing these capabilities? And then how do we make sure it stays ongoing? Because we haven't yet had like not a good idea come, but the question is, can it be sustainable? Can they lock arms with community partners? And what's been really fascinating, because Belinda brought it up, is during the pandemic, is seeing how these agencies had to pivot their strategies. So many of the grants folks came in with said, we're going to do this service, and immediately they couldn't because they were physical locations. And so how do you start doing that virtually? Just like the rest of us had to learn to work in a different way. We had a number of organizations, and it was kind of exciting to see them think about it, because I think to your point, it's now shown them some other ways that they could start to deliver where people live
and
make it more accessible.
Deliver in efficient ways too with mobile units. Now you don't necessarily have the overhead of a larger office. You just need that portability. So yes, it made nonprofits think of different ways to deliver their services.
Great points. You are really invested in this. There's accountability and you're really trying to grow each of these programs, right?
Yeah, and they're three-year grants. So we're not with them with like a year. It's 3 years that we spend in the grant cycle. And so to Belinda's point, and there's been programs where people have come back and said, we learned this and we want to pivot and use these dollars in a different way because we think it's more effective. But again, it's trying to make sure that we're moving the needle related to the CHNA and really helping to continue to advance. There's so many great organizations out there and a lot of energy and enthusiasm. In fact, one of my most recent ones that we saw was related to, this was a group of kids that were helping kids. And so what's exciting to even see is like younger generations starting to want to get into this space for our community, kids actually helping other kids.
They are very activated, and that's great to see. Yeah, that's cool. Belinda, you're the president of the National Entrepreneur Center. It's been great getting to know you. Before that, you were the Economic Development Director in Kissimmee. Why is the CHNA important to every business owner in Central Florida? I mean, business owners are busy running their business,
correct,
right? And they understand that government can only help so much, right?
Correct. And at the end of the day, it requires nonprofit and the private sectors to step up and help supplement some of the things that government doesn't reach. So as a business owner, as you said, you're focused, you're in your office, you're trying to grow your business, you're trying to provide for your employees. Those employees also may need things that these agencies provide. So the work that's done by this organization is just remarkable to help where government doesn't always reach.
You know, we think of business. The majority of business in Central Florida is small business. And I mean small business,
it
right?
It is. Yeah. 80% of our economy is driven by our small business community. If you look at that small business community, the vast majority of them are micro enterprises. A micro enterprise is a company with 5 employees, and that includes the owner or less.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at 92% of that 80% being 5 or less employees, they may not have as prolific of a health care plan. You've got employees that are looking for resources in different ways. And that's where these nonprofits really step up and assist. And that's the neighbor to neighbor assistance. So the fact that Advent Health has this board that's truly providing for the community in such a magnificent way, it moves the needle more than I think they realize.
Yeah, great points. You are also a member of the council. Can you talk about what you're looking for when you're awarding these grants? Because that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're obviously looking for agencies that are helping solve an issue or working towards solve an issue in the community. But I also look at the group coming in. Do they have that spark, that genuine interest? Because I find motivated individuals, those individuals will personify that energy, and that could be contagious. And so I find if they have that spark, they've got that interest, it's worth scoring them a little higher, because where there's a will, there's a way.
And talk about the impact. I mean, you see it. You're involved here. And I know it's probably impossible to boil this down to like one scenario or one impact, because there's so many ways that this is impacting so many people. But is there something that stands out for you?
So there was one organization that stood out, and this was a couple of years ago, and it was a mobile dentistry that we funded. And when you think of dentistry, you think of filling cavities or just, you know, teeth whitening potentially, or braces if you're younger. But in this case, they went into the community of Bithlow that was an underserved community, and they provided dental support for individuals that were looking for a second chance in life. And these were individuals, one story in particular that came to mind was, you know, someone constantly getting ear infections. And that's someone that would end up in the ER because they didn't have the dental procedure taken care of, which this mobile unit was. So that was one story that just really stuck with me, years later, on how something as a dental appointment truly transformed the life of an individual. So when I think of this group, I think of powerful moments like that. We're changing the lives of individuals. We talked about the PACE Center for Girls. These are young ladies that are still growing up themselves, that find themselves pregnant, that need a life coach that, you know, may not be their parent. So it's helping fund organizations that, in this case, the REACH program, you've got a therapist going into the community, meeting that young lady where she's at and helping her build her life with now another young person that she'll be responsible for taking care of. So this organization does so much good in such powerful ways. And sometimes it's, you know, one grain of salt at a time.
Yeah, take care of those little things, and it will help collectively take care of some of the bigger things, right? And Trish, same thing to you. You know, I know that, you know, we talk about taking care of the day-to-day, but there's a big vision here to try and extend this for generations to come, right?
Yeah, so a couple of the spaces. So we have our grants in this process, and to Belinda's point, we have them, I think they get 7 or 8 minutes. So we do it like Shark Tank style. So it's great to see those enthusiastic participants come through. But beyond that, Advent Health also has a commitment to looking at maybe larger scale health and wellness and well-being programs throughout our community. One of them that we're super proud to have partnered with is Lift Orlando. So we were one of the early partners with a public-private organization that came together. And what we love is really it's looking at how do you lift a whole community out of poverty and then again set up for generational success. So Advent Health specifically was a partner of a larger group that has done some fantastic work in this community. Our piece of it and where we've tried to stay again is what we do as healthcare. The other thing we do is we also partner, and sometimes it is with government agencies, so the federally qualified health centers. So we help provide services either in kind or in support of, because if you don't have access, like Belinda just described, to basic healthcare, you don't get it because you can't either afford it and or it's not close by. The next thing you know, you're in my emergency room with really serious things. And so how do we change your healthcare trajectory is making these services available.
You know, it may seem like an obvious question. We touched on this with Belinda, but, you know, business owners are busy running their business and they think, oh, Advent Health, they've got this. They're Advent Health. But it's so important for the business community to be engaged in this process, right? I mean, to be involved in it because, to her point earlier, it impacts the whole community, right?
Yeah, so what we try, again, at Advent Health is to look for those places where we can collaborate with the larger community, because we know not one person, not one entity is going to solve all of this. And so where are those places that we can bring the community together? And again, we offer healthcare, that's our core capabilities, but other folks have other expertise that then they bring to the table. I would just encourage, and I know Belinda believes this in her core, what we have found is that for people to live our Feel Whole brand, having meaning and purpose is key to that. And so I would tell an employer not just that they have to donate to Advent Health or be a part of community health initiatives, but I think find the things that your employees find meaningful and figure out ways to get actively involved in your community. Because you mentioned younger generations, they're very interested in doing this type. It's a actual quality that younger, I don't want to stereotype a generation, Zs, et cetera, they want to be part of something bigger. And so I think being part of a company that has a way to help you tap into whatever that personal passion might be for you, I would encourage all businesses to think about how they do that. It helps, obviously, if you're interested in moving healthcare, and I'm happy to partner with those groups. But as a business person, and just we find, again, we had a slogan that we talk a lot about internal to Advent Health, which is we call it generosity heals. And we just see that across the board, that giving something of yourself away, whether that's your time, your treasure, et cetera, it gives back to you in that whole life. And people are searching right now, I think, for community and for connectivity. Right. And this is a great way to get involved.
And you're seeing that just in the workforce and with companies, even on commercials on TV, companies realizing people want to do business with agencies that do things with greater meaning, whether it's, you know, environmental, whether it's, you know, helping those in need. You see that more and more. And the younger generation wants to work for companies that believe in giving back, that feel that there's a civic responsibility they have to improving our community.
We're the second largest employer in Central Florida, next to Disney folks. They have their volunteers or the ears, but how do we show up in the community? I mean, I could tell you stories of all the places that we go for Days of Caring, like team members who go basically fill at Second Harvest, like the shelves. And so we just think as part of a culture and being part of a community, it just gives people a great sense of pride, both in their organization and in making Central Florida better. So again, this isn't to just be like, do health care, but I think just having that spirit of bringing a community together to move the needle is where it gets really super exciting. And right. Again, this is our one little way in the world to try to do that.
Final question for you. What inspires wholeness for you?
Well, I'm a 35-year veteran of Advent Health. So what really makes me feel whole again and why I've been with this organization that long is the idea that we can do something for people to make their lives better, whether that's in our inpatient care settings, wherever that might be. I believe that wholeness comes when you're doing something that lives beyond you and that you can create meaning and purpose. And then, of course, I have to mention my two boys. So I've got a 15 and a 17-year-old son. Feeling whole is when they're home safe and I know they're not driving on I-4, let's put it that way. But wholeness is personal. What we've discovered as we've been looking at this is it's very personal. So you're asking me, Belinda will have a different answer, but finding what that is and bringing your passion and your expertise together, like if you can find that little slice of the world, to me, that's the exciting part and makes me feel whole at least.
And Belinda, what inspires you to feel whole?
My family as well. I've got much younger children. I've got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. And as an executive, I feel I'm always going 1,000 miles a minute. And I always want to do things that will provide for them, whether financially with a solid home and vacations and being able to spend quality time with them. From a civic side, I like the work that I do because I'm helping entrepreneurs, you know, one at a time. Last year within the NEC ecosystem, we trained or coached over 21,000 entrepreneurs for me, I see that as, you know, 21,000 different companies that my children potentially could go work for, you know, in the next 15 years or when they're ready. But yeah, family would be the answer for me, the getting to spend time, quality time with them at home and helping build a better community.
Well, it's an important conversation. We appreciate both of you joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. It's an honor.
It's great.
AdventHealth has provided whole person care for 115 years. Today, our services, including cancer, cardiac, neurosurgery, orthopedics, and a dedicated women's and children's hospital, are rated among the nation's best. Learn more at feelhealthyfeelwhole.com. And be sure to subscribe to Inspiring Wholeness on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for any professional advice or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The views expressed by our guests are their own. Their participation in this podcast does not imply an endorsement by them or any entity they represent.